And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Man, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Man, what? He does it every day. David James just stirs up a motion of negativity and then whirls out the door. I'm in a perfectly good mood, and all of a sudden we talk to DJ for 2 minutes, and I'm outraged, and then Sarah goes, you're up.
I like that somehow you don't have road rage, but you are always teetering on the edge of insanity. your fury is boiling just below the level.
You know why? Because the road's me time.
So you chill.
I get a chill. I have to be on a razor's edge to do this show every day.
Do you? Because I make it so hard.
I feel
hard.
Like I have to be like
Sarah makes it
borderline
so hard.
Melting down as soon as the light goes on.
You don't, but DJ gets you there.
Well, yeah, because he wants to talk to you about something that he's complaining about.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just inspires, like, I used to work with a guy who would always start one place. Like, he'd start out talking about, I don't know, computer screens or something. And that would spin into something that would that aggravated him in his life. And then that would spin into something else and spin into something else. And there were like three major events in his life that every complaint like dialed back to.
Because
you know
what
I mean?
I would generally classify David James as a happy person.
Oh, very happy person. Well, here's the thing about David James. Very happy person. Serious professional.
Okay.
Serious about his job. And so when there's something that about his job that he feels strongly about it. He's not like a...
By the way, let me clarify. Nothing in this building, nobody he's working with, nothing like that at all.
This is like not all that important in general.
No.
But it is about his job.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like... I'm not... David's not trashing the boss behind his back, Ben. We're not... Come on. We're not even applying that. It's just... It's basically a complaint about bureaucracy, if anything. And... Yeah, he's right to be aggravated, but
sure.
Then he spreads the aggravation. And then I'm aggravated. Somehow you're shaking it off. I don't know what your issue is.
You what do I have to complain about?
Have no emotion about anything.
Things are good.
Just a rock over there.
That's what I'm going for.
It's like talking to a boulder every day.
That's what I'm selling. That's what I bring. That's what I bring, right? I don't go, my highs are not that high, my lows are not that low. That's what I bring, consistency. It's not great takes.
Man,
it's not good information.
See, I consider myself a happy, positive person, but I complain all the time.
Yes, you do.
I complain about the complainers. That was like half the show yesterday. Why are people just want to complain? Complain all the time. That's fine. I'm one of them. Do you have a group of friends or people in your life that are truly negative people?
No, I've eliminated those people. I've gotten rid of those
people.
Those
are gone?
Yeah. No, we're all happy.
We have a group of friends that's just, yeah, absolutely, like, love the negative energy.
It's an energy suck, my man. And I'm not saying, I get it, got to have it, but...
Oh, no, sometimes it's good. Sometimes you got to lean into being negative. It's
sure,
fine.
Sure,
there's a yin and a yang for everything. I would have a tough time being negative all the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you want to saddle up for a complaint fest, I'm in. But I just can't do that all the time, or...
There's
yeah,
a lot of people
I
do that.
You.
I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, that's what the internet has created, right? A gateway to just complain all the time.
Well, yeah, the outlets change, right?
And it's just all it is. It's just so I, you know, where
but
I, yeah,
people,
I do
but
have
some
it.
People...
I do have it actually. What am I talking about? It's called Twitter.com. Yeah, I have it.
Yeah, and
I
some
have
people...
Twitter.com. It's a nonstop hellhole of people complaining about things that don't matter.
I'll give you an example. Have you ever pulled up? You ever pulled up a tweet that's controversial and you just want to read the hate ratio? I mean, I think that's fairly common. I know I'm speaking about something that was popular in like 2013, but like,
yes,
I remember, I'm going to be somewhat scant with the detail on this, but there was somebody who stuck up for Jeffrey Toobin right after his incident on the Zoom meeting.
We all remember.
I could have read.
Don't Google it.
I could have read that ratio.
Yes.
All day.
Hilarious.
That this guy tried to create an argument to stick up, and then people just roasted him, and it may have been the funniest thing I've ever seen, and it was all negative.
Doesn't have to be two sides of every conversation. Don't need to step up and defend that.
No.
Don't need to hear both sides.
No, the workplace violation alone. I'll tell you how he chose to defend it too, which was pretty hilarious. But anyway, I'm not blind. We can't live in Disneyland all the time. But yeah, you can't drown in the, you know, the people that are too connected to social media probably have too much negativity in their life. I won't specifically just blame your guy Elon either. I mean, social media.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah, it's everywhere.
And even positive things inspire negative thoughts. For example, I had to basically delete my app of X or whatever mm-hmm. we're calling it, because if I saw another thing about the stupid eclipse, I was
mad at the eclipse.
I was getting.
See, it, you're always like, you're a single degree away from boiling at all times. You run at 211 degrees Fahrenheit.
I just don't. Does everything have to be about the eclipse? Can you mix in like a national title take or something like that? And I, you know, beholden to the algorithm, I suppose. But it was all eclipse.
Did you look at it?
No.
You didn't look at the eclipse.
No.
You didn't stack your sunglasses.
No.
Oh, I did. I had fun. It was good. Glad I saw it. It was not life-changing, but I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah, it was a thing. It's a thing.
Sarah, did you watch the eclipse?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't care if Sarah watched the eclipse. I'd rather know about Sarah's day yesterday.
I peeked at it, but there was a massive cloud over it where I was at. So for the high point of it or whatever.
The best. We didn't get to see it.
I didn't get to see it because there was a massive cloud in front of it. So. Yeah.
I come from a family of eclipsers. So.
My own wife was telling me how she had eclipse jealousy of coworkers. I was like, God, why?
Eclipse FOMO.
It's the dumbest FOMO I think ever. And everybody had it. Like, and everybody like feel like I this obligation to go look at the eclipse, because somehow if you don't, you're the only person on the planet who did not.
I know you're not a science major, nor am I, which is why I'm asking this question. Aren't we technically always in an eclipse of some kind? Like, doesn't the reason
somewhere on the planet
well,
there's
don't
a...
we only always only get, other than one day a month, a portion of the moon because it's the shadow of the Earth on the moon?
Something like that.
Right? I mean, that's why the shape of the moon changes,
yeah,
right?
Every month, right.
You get the little fingernail-looking thing. The crescent moon.
But a lunar eclipse is something different.
Yeah, I mean, that's when it's just on the other side. But right now, when you see the shadow on the moon and you only see the edge of it, it's we are creating an eclipse because the sun is being blocked by the Earth onto the moon. Like, there is an eclipse going on all but one day a month
but
all
the
time. And I get it's different.
The meaning of the word eclipse.
Is to eclipse the sun.
Yeah, yeah. It's like somebody is shouting at their radio right now about how foolish...
Oh, I'm
we
sure.
Sound. Like, that's something, what you're describing there has a different name.
I'm sure. Unless you were on the moon, in which you'd be like, yeah, we're getting an eclipse. The Earth
whatever.
Is blocking the sun.
But I don't care. Again, you know why I don't know? Don't care.
Don't care.
But yeah, I couldn't flip on, you know, I was like, hey, maybe I'll sit down and watch the nightly news. A hard pass. 25 out of the 30 minutes would have been about the eclipse. I got it. It happened. People traveled all over to the, like, parts of the path. They were charging like $3,000 a hotel room or something. It's like leafers. Like, hey, okay, you're into it. I got it.
A lunar eclipse is caused by Earth blocking sunlight from reaching the moon and creating a shadow across the lunar surface. So we're lunar eclipses all the time? Am I wrong on that? Am I reading that wrong? Anyways, all right. Apologize.
We have to do top three stories.
We got to move on.
Because Dan Bickley is going to join the show coming up at 10:30. We're going to talk about the latest and greatest about the Phoenix Coyotes and where they may be playing hockey in the future. Dan does radio down there in Phoenix, so we'll talk to him at 10:30. And then Bob Casper. Yes, that Bob Casper of Real Golf Radio will join us live from the Masters at 10:50. Is that the one golf course that you on the planet you would play above all others?
I've never played Salt Lake Country Club. I play a million different courses.
I know. I've never played Salt Lake Country Club either.
No, I need a flat course with no trees. That's what you think I'm going to have fun playing that? I would hate that. I would hate that.
But just to tell people you did it. And listen, the Masters.
I don't want to. What do I care if I tell people what I do?
The Masters would not be it for me.
I just want to play a flat, wide open surface that I can, put me in a warehouse. Just put the hole out there.
I've never.
And it doesn't matter where I hit, it's always a straight line.
Can you participate in the fantasy aspect of the question for just a second? Neither one of us is ever going to play that course.
I don't know
neither,
if that's
like,
true.
Neither one of us is ever going to have the opportunity.
I don't know if that's
that
true.
That of all courses, that and maybe the L.A. Country Club are the two I could assure you that neither one of us are going to play. Unless all of a sudden you become uberly politically connected. I know you and the mayor are.
That's what I'm betting on.
I know you and the mayor are close.
That's what I'm betting my whole life on.
It's a long shot, but I guess we all have a dream. All right, top three stories, KSLSports.com. We're moving it up today because of our busy guest schedule. Sarah, where do you want to start?
Number one, UConn, our national champs.
Kind of went exactly as we had discussed yesterday, that UConn's just so athletic and big that they blew Purdue out of the water, especially in the second half. The game was 6 points at the half, but second half was a disaster, not much of a basketball game. I don't agree with Draymond Green's take that Zach Edey quit. He had 37 points, for goodness sake. But, that UConn team was a monster. And was a monster all year and went into the tournament as a monster.
I don't think Edey quit. I just think he kind of stinks.
Which part? The 37 points part against the guy who's going to be the top five draft pick? Or
That he has no left hand at all. That was so apparent. That and by the way, shout out to UConn for basically being the first team to guard him that way.
He'll turn over his right shoulder sometimes because he's used it. But you're 7'4". You don't have to alter your shots very often.
He's got nothing going that way, and he is so bad defending the pick and roll. How many dunks did UConn get? It was a dunk fest.
Some of that
over.
They don't play a dedicated drop, like a hard enough drop. And some of that might be because he can't do it. Some of it might be because the rest of his team looks like me. That Purdue team, did you see the thing going around, which was who's the worst NBA player that could carry a team to the national championship in college basketball? Did you see that discussion going on?
No.
It's Zach Edey, right? Like, he just did it. That team without Zach Edey is a 16 seed at best. That is such a bad basketball team. It's unbelievable how bad the talent is. He had one other guy on his team score more than 5 points. One other guy. The rest of the team was 9 of 29 from the floor. They took 7 three-point attempts. It's amazing Purdue got that far because that team is awful and UConn's very good. But, that was a disaster.
Well, they should never have gotten that far.
That's why I didn't pick them to get to the title game.
I'm not going to stick up for the rest of the team, frankly. I don't care. But I thought that Edey was severely limited the way UConn guarded him. And, I think college basketball coaches are actually becoming more important in one way.
Okay.
And that way is coaching. I don't think you had to be a coach before. But one of the interesting byproducts of this NIL is that you can continue to recruit good players throughout and get experienced players and players that can really fit what you're doing. And it's strangely really balanced things out in a weird way. Where now teams, you're going to have to coach. You're going to have to figure out a way to take Zach Edey out of the game. And you know what? I don't know if UConn took him out of the game.
They didn't.
But he didn't come close to beating him either.
No, he didn't.
And he's beat other teams by himself.
Yeah. UConn's great. And UConn has at least four NBA players, maybe five if Tristan Newton's an NBA player. but they're really good. You, there's an argument Purdue doesn't have any. I think Zach Edey's going to make it. There's an absolute world where what you were talking about, his inability to defend the pick and roll, if that's not just partly because of his teammates and his coaching, that if he can't do that, he won't stick in the NBA at all.
He's not that much bigger than Rudy Gobert. I mean, he's not bigger than everybody else on the floor in the NBA. He's the same height as Rudy.
And he's tall. No, he's bigger than Rudy. He's taller than Rudy is. Rudy's like 7'2".
Yeah.
And he's 300 pounds.
But that's the difference, right? And I don't know what Rudy's at now, but it's a lot more than he was when he got in the league.
Yeah, probably 260, something like that. Rudy's big. He's not that big. I mean, he made Donovan Klingon look small. Donovan Klingon's huge.
But that's the thing. We don't think of Rudy as a really stout player. I mean, there's people his size are pretty close to it at the NBA level. I don't know who his comp would be. I love his right-handed hook shot, but he's got...
And nobody else in the NBA does that.
He's got no left.
Nobody in the NBA does that, so it may not be a thing.
How many balls did they just Sean Bradley to him in the paint where he got a dunk? That's not...
Right.
He's not going to have that option in the NBA.
No, I want to see from Zach Edey at the next level what we saw for the first 10 minutes of the game when Purdue had that early lead, which was he was playing with so much energy. He actually wore out. It was the first time I've ever seen him wear out last night. But I think that's because he was guarding a big body in Donovan Klingon and then being put in so many pick and rolls that he got tired. If you can play him on the floor for 10 minutes in the NBA... maximize his energy, 15 minutes a night, maximize his energy as a backup center, have that type of size, I think he can make it. But the defense might be too much of an issue. He might not be good enough defensively to stick.
Well, make it is one thing, and be effective is another.
He's going to get drafted. He's a first-round draft pick. He's going to get drafted. What he does beyond that, it's up to him. I like that he plays hard.
But you're not going to invest in someone you can't play at the end of the game. I wouldn't invest a first-round draft pick in somebody that I didn't think have the ability to play at the end of the game. People creamed Dennis for drafting Doak at the end of the first round.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I'll be curious. I'll be curious what happens. I'll be curious what's
like, why would you spend a first-round pick on somebody who you thought their potential was backup center? Come find a backup center anywhere.
Yeah. Teams fall in love with size. And teams that are close to a title may say, hey, we just need something extra like that that we know is going to land. And that's the other thing. Don't draft a bust. Now, Zach Edey might end up being, quote unquote, the biggest bust because of his size, and he's going to be memorable, and that might scare some teams off. If you draft him and he doesn't make it because of all these things we're talking about, then you're the team who drafted Zach Edey. The difference is there's just like, we don't see 7'4" guys produce like this ever.
Teams, I hope teams don't think like that. Oh, man, we don't want to be the team that drafted Zach Edey. Like, why would you think like that? I'm not saying you.
Teams
do. If
you're
a team, why
teams
would
are strange.
You? Again, I keep coming back to the Jazz Dante Exum draft pick, which is ironic because he's playing so well right now. Just hit a huge shot to send it into overtime. What Sunday night? But they were arm twisted into picking him by Draft Express or whatever. Everybody that like. Oh, you can't be – you really going to be the team that passed on Dante Exum when he fell into your lap?
Right.
It's like, we haven't seen this guy. We haven't talked to this guy. He hasn't played in a year. There's a reason that all these other teams all of a sudden are passing on him.
Right. We're just going to take Marcus Smart and be happy.
Or whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
But you're like, oh, man, well, we're supposed to – he's supposed to be a second pick or whatever. Like, how could you operate like that?
You can't. No, you can't.
I don't get that.
Especially in the lottery.
So I don't understand that. Like, oh, we can't take Zach Edey because we actually think he's going to be really good. But if the chance he's not, we're going to look stupid? I don't know, Ben. But I do know that I wouldn't take in the first round somebody I projected to be a backup center. Where you fool yourself with size is you think they're going to be Shaq. Or you think that they're going to be Joel Embiid or whatever. Not... We think he's going to be a Plumlee.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, I wouldn't draft him in the lottery. I, you know, probably wouldn't use him with that 28th pick that the Jazz have, but somebody will.
Next.
Number two, the Jazz host the Nuggets tonight.
Second to last home game. Thursday will be their final home game. All the veterans still out. I'll be curious if we get to see Jordan Clarkson again before the end of the season. Doesn't sound like it. But maybe Thursday. Problem is the Jazz really still have a chance to climb up to the seventh seed. So there is no reason to play anybody. This is a, you know what we
you,
are?
Why would he play? I think
this is his last game in Utah.
Okay. But I doubt he really wants to. Maybe for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jordan has loved his time in Utah. I don't know if he's loved all of it, and especially what's happened over the last couple of years. It seems like he's been frustrated by it. I'm speaking solely on my guesses. This is not anything I've heard at all. So don't, you know, that's not Jordan's fault. That's just kind of what I've interpreted. I could be totally wrong. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I will say this about Jordan. He's the type of guy, and he's the only guy I've met this, who after the season will come and shake everybody's hand. Like, he will come and shake all the media members' hands and be like, nice talking to you this year. I've appreciated, like, asking questions or whatever. Like, kind of implying that. He's the only player I've ever met who has done that. So I think in that sense, he has some sentimentality, so he may want to play one more game in Utah if he feels like it's his last year.
Well, you knew a guy who touched everybody's microphone.
I did.
Just saying.
I do.
It's kind of like a handshake.
Kind of. A little bit.
Kind of.
Different, but kind of.
But kind of.
Not as sentimental.
Do we know, I hear Denver's a bunch of questionables, right? Are they going to rest all their guys? I would guess. Because Aaron Gordon's questionable. Who else is? Pretty much everybody, right? Jamal Murray is.
Jamal Murray has very rarely played over the last couple of weeks. So I would not expect to see Jamal Murray tonight.
No. All right, next.
Number three, the Scottsdale mayor weighs in on the Coyotes.
Does not want a $1 billion stadium built in Scottsdale. The proposed Phoenix version, bordering Scottsdale, was presented without mention of market demand for a new entertainment venue disguised as a hockey arena or congested highway access or questionable area zoning entitlement. The prospect of a rookie developer attempting to buy Arizona State Trust land with absolutely no infrastructure on the Phoenix side of the 101 Scottsdale Road intersection at the doorstep of Scottsdale is not feasible or welcome. As stands today, the fantasy hockey project must move west, away from Scottsdale.
Yeah, that's probably not a good sign.
Look, I mean, we can complain about billionaires getting tax money to help build a team, and I'm not telling you it's right or wrong. Everyone gets to have their own opinion. You should be able to vote on it. You get to feel however you want. The problem is, if you don't get support from your local officials, your team moves, and that's what's going to happen. Arizona's going to move. They're going to move to Salt Lake City. It's what's going to happen.
Looking that way.
It stinks that you can twist somebody's arm like that. But the truth is, we have set it up, a system that you can twist people's arm that way.
Honestly, plenty of markets have lost teams they've wanted to keep. It doesn't look like Phoenix is into hockey.
Yeah, I don't even think they care. Is the problem.
Well, the Scottsdale mayor actively doesn't want it.
Doesn't want it in their town.
It's like, you know, when RSL was shopping around its stadium because Salt Lake County was dragging its feet or whatever, the Sandy mayor was like, yeah.
Sure.
Sign us up.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing.
We got a big old spot.
Let's make it happen.
What even used to be there? I did not travel that far south very often.
I should remember. I don't know. Office buildings or something.
Yeah. But anyways, regardless.
Right. I mean, this Coyotes owner is having the same problem where it's like, okay, I got to find a place to build a facility. And everybody in that market is like, I don't know.
Not here.
Not here.
Quick programming note.
Yeah.
So there is a mix-up in time zones. So Dan will be coming on at 11:30.
Okay. Dan Bickley, Arizona sports radio host, coming on at 11:30. So we moved top three stories for nothing.
Yeah. I didn't hear back until
shame
during top three stories.
Shame.
But it's okay. We still got them done.
Shame.
Can
we just
do
top three stories again next?
Like, let's just re-rack the segment and we'll go get a refill on the coffee.
I don't know how to do a show on the fly otherwise.
Yeah. We'll get to whatever coming up next. All of a sudden, we have a free segment.
Can we talk about the crazy final week of the NBA season we've got coming up?
Yes. You mean the one I've been telling you is going to happen for this whole time when you've been like, predict the games now?
Well, actually, it's the opposite of what you said, so I'll explain why it's the exact opposite of what you said and why you were wrong the whole time.
Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE, and you're going to be assigned a golfer in the Uinta Golf Major giveaway from Uinta Golf. If your player wins, you will win your player's brand of driver. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We'll have more straight ahead. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, These guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jazz Ticket Tuesday. I got to get it together. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. You're going to get a pair of tickets to go see the Jazz take on the Rockets at Delta Center on April the 11th. Tickets will be sent electronically via SeatGeek. We also want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Ben, I feel like that newscaster who did the story about the person, the bomb threat, because the person burst into the bathroom and said, "I'm about to blow this up." Have you heard this?
Have you heard this clip? I have not.
Oh, is Lloyd still in there? Sarah, have Lloyd to help you find this this news clip. We've got it somewhere. But anyway, the newscaster reads this ridiculous story, right, and then just can't stop laughing. Just
can't shake it.
Can't put the genie back in the bottle. That's how I felt during that Jazz update. I can't.
Thank goodness for laughter. Thank goodness for laughter. It's a little blessing we get.
Even laughter about really terrible things.
Sure, of course. Of course.
Oh, it's the only way to get through the day. We were talking about positive versus negative energy and feelings and that sort of thing. And of course, we all dabble in the negative, but I think it's best to keep it in the positive.
The NBA has...
Wait, are we going to find this thing before we move on and make it not relevant? I know. Ben's the one threatening to move on, Lloyd.
All right. Just stop. We'll have some dead air for... Well, how long can we have dead air, do you think, before
people
think
something's
wrong?
Go ahead, Ben. The moment is past. Let's not play fun sound. Let's talk about the stupid NBA.
Sarah threw up her Van Lith hands in front of Caitlin Clark. Couldn't find it. It's fine. We're putting people on the spot for audio. The NBA has a final week that is as crazy as I can remember. I don't... remember, and maybe I'm just dumb, maybe it could have happened last year. My brain doesn't work that well anymore. But these last four games, Jazz excluded, apologies, but if you're just an NBA fan, are awesome. The Eastern Conference and Western Conference playoff races, there's not a single set matchup yet. Now, there shouldn't be with four games left, but sometimes we're kind of in that spot where we know what every seed is going to be. We know the Celtics are going to be the number one seed in the East. We know the Clippers are going to be the four seed in the West, probably. They have a two-game advantage over the Dallas Mavericks with four games left to play. So technically, that's still up in the air, and Dallas is 9-1 in their last 10. Now, the Clippers are starting to play better as well, and they play the Jazz, so the odds that they're going to lose their three other games and Dallas will overtake them is slim. But Minnesota and the Denver Nuggets are tied for the top seed in the West. Oklahoma City is just a game back of both of them and could still be in play for the one. Outside of the Clippers, who I mentioned is locked in as the four seed in the West, Dallas Mavericks are five. They're two games ahead of the Suns. It's looking most likely like we will see a Clippers-Mavericks first-round matchup, which signed me up. But the Suns and the Pelicans are tied in the sixth and seventh seed, which is the difference between guaranteed playoff spot and probably facing maybe the Thunder or maybe the Nuggets or maybe the Timberwolves. And the play-in tournament, where there's a good chance you're going to have to play the Lakers, who can beat you in a play-in tournament game, and Sacramento's fighting like hell to stay out of the 9 seed, getting overtaken by the Lakers, so they can avoid playing the Golden State Warriors, who are probably going to be the last team to make the play-in tournament. They are guaranteed to be in the top 10, because Houston can no longer get there. But none of those seeds are locked up. And then in the East, because Milwaukee has absolutely fallen apart for some reason, they've lost four straight, including three games in a row where they were double-digit favorites. Milwaukee's a game up on Orlando. Orlando has an identical record to the four seed. Orlando's in the third. Orlando's got an identical record to the four seed New York Knicks. Those teams are both a half game ahead of Donovan Mitchell and the fifth-seeded Cleveland Cavaliers. Those teams are just a game ahead of the sixth-seeded Indiana Pacers, and all three of those teams are just two or two-and-a-half games ahead of the seventh-seeded Philadelphia 76ers, who, by the way, just got Joel Embiid back. Like, it is insane what's going on. We're going to see the Chicago Bulls and the Atlanta Hawks play the 9-10 matchup in the Eastern Conference. But beyond that, there's still an opportunity for Miami, who's 19 games back, to find themselves in the sixth seed. Look, we've got these final four games. We're not even going to be able to follow them. We're not going to be able to catch up because there's so much movement that's going to happen in the next four games, and that's exactly what the NBA wanted, as opposed to all these teams actually in the playoff rankings, tanking games, and to the point where you're not even going to be able to really rig the system to find a good first-round matchup in favor of yourself. I don't think it's going to be possible this year, which is what Adam Silver has wanted, and as much as we criticize what the NBA does wrong, they've gotten this one right somehow this year.
Well, they're so bunched together, as you just played out. Of course there's going to be jockeying for matchups. I don't agree with that take at all.
I don't know. How are you going to do it? If you lose a game and the team that you're trying to lose to match up with wins, they might jump two seeds and you end up with a totally different team.
The sweet spot in the East, I'd want to be, and again, we're talking about the bottom part of the playoff bracket, right? The sweet spot in the East, I'd want to be in six or seven.
Problem is seven, you're in a play-in tournament.
So?
So you're playing Miami?
Yeah, whatever.
You might not make the playoffs.
Right, I know, I gotcha. But do I want to play Milwaukee in the first round or not? The answer is yes. Do I want to play Orlando in the first round or not? The answer is yes.
And you avoid the 1-4 in the second round, which is means you avoid Boston in the second round.
In the West, if I'm the Mavericks, I lose games to get to the sixth slot. Because I'd much rather play Oklahoma City in the first round than the Clippers.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
OKC is beat up, and they're only 5-5.
I'd way rather be in the eighth spot than the seven. And granted, with the play-in, that's a little bit more difficult to manipulate, but, I mean, those things are all still true.
The reason the eighth spot's impossible is because you have to probably beat Golden State in the second play-in game, which is really dangerous. Just I don't want to play Steph Curry in one game.
But these things you would grant me you want these matchups.
Why would you want the eighth seed?
You'd want to play Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota and Denver are tied. That's the problem. Right. They have the exact same record. Like,
sure.
We don't know what these are going to be until literally 3 o'clock on Sunday. We don't know who any of these matchups are going to be. It's going to be darn near impossible to rig the system to draw up a matchup you want.
And I'm old enough to remember the last game of the year, what would have been, when was the Grayson Allen game, Ben?
2019,
where half the league had to lose on purpose for the Jazz to get the Rockets, and it went to a double overtime game where Grayson Allen had the game of his life, where both teams were trying to lose, and the whole league wanted to play the Jazz in the playoffs. I mean, that easily could happen on the last day of the season. Easily. I mean, right down to the top teams in the league. What if Denver wants to drop a spot, or Minnesota wants to drop a spot? Maybe they don't want to finish number one. Maybe they don't want to face the Lakers or whatever in the first round, or have anything to do with the Lakers or the Warriors. Maybe you think the Warriors are the favorites to come out of it, since New Orleans and Sacramento were so terrible all of a sudden. Maybe I don't want to play. I'd much rather play a damaged Phoenix team than either the Lakers or the Warriors.
Okay.
I mean, you can make all these arguments,
right,
which teams are going to do in this last week. And by the way, Golden State, I mean, if you want to talk just about the Jazz, Golden State is every intent on giving up on the season from here on out, because they're in the 10th spot, and that's it.
Steve Kerr
even admitted that. They're in the 10th spot. That's it. So the Jazz last game against Golden State, they're going to play their G League team.
They are. That is a team that, you're right, is locked in. Of the few teams, I mentioned maybe the Clippers at 4, probably Dallas at 5, and Golden State at 10, are 3. And then you can throw, like we mentioned, the two teams in the Eastern Conference, the 9-10, and then Boston at 1. Those are the teams that are probably locked in where they are. So, yeah, Golden State might just focus purely on health the rest of the way.
They should. They'd be foolish not to. And by the way, when the Jazz played Golden State, Steve Kerr said that, basically.
Yeah.
So they're not going to play anybody that last game of the season. I bet we see teams trying to lose all over the place. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
I will be pretty shocked if that happens. But it probably depends on what happens in the next three games, obviously. Everyone has at least three games left on their schedule.
But it always happens.
Sure, but we're not going to get this last week of the season where teams are losing the entire last week of the season that are in the playoffs, which is, I think, what we had dreaded of why, what's the schedule going to be? Well, these last three or four games aren't going to matter because teams are tanking. That's just not going to happen at all. We might see that Sunday, maybe. I still not am positive we're going to see it Sunday. We will see it with a couple of teams like Golden State, who you mentioned. I honestly don't know how many playoff series are going to be set before Sunday when the final buzzer goes off. And again, the nice thing that the league has started doing recently is stacking all these games on top of each other so everybody plays at the same time to avoid specifically the Grayson Allen 40-point game. So nobody can look around and be like, oh, well, let's throw this game. So I'm excited. I'm really going to enjoy this last week of the NBA season. I know Jazz fans aren't enjoying watching the Jazz right now, but if you're an NBA fan, like, the playoffs are starting because all these teams are trying to jockey. And the nice thing is everyone's trying to climb for the most part. There's not a lot of teams trying to fall down the rankings, if any.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The 2024 Masters Update, live from Augusta, Georgia, on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, is brought to you by Uinta Golf, simply the best golf stores in Utah since 1971.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, the 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Also want to remind you about Win Ticket Wednesday. Don't miss your chance to win big every week on the station. This week, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Sam Hunt at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater August 3rd. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. I'm not familiar with much of Sam's catalog, Ben. What's his act?
I'm not sure I have it either.
Sarah? Oh, she's busy getting Bob. We're going to talk to Bob Caster.
He's like a pop country singer.
Pop country? Okay. Well, that's popular around here, so I'm sure that's a hot ticket. Listen tomorrow on Win Ticket Wednesday. We're going to talk to Bob about the Masters as golf season gets in full swing.
Can't believe it's here.
I know, it feels like 2024 is flying by already.
Better to have a quick year or a slow year?
Slow. Everything needs to slow
down. I'm with you. You know what? Okay, let me complain about our job. It makes life pass so quickly. Because A, our jobs are really enjoyable and fun, and I like coming here every day. So time never goes slowly, right? You're having fun. Time flies when you're having a good time, and we usually do. So that's the and then you kind of just go like, season, you just kind of always set your schedule by what's ending. Like, the Jazz season is ending, and then it's golf season, and then it's like, okay, well, what's the announcement going to be this summer? And then it's the draft, and then it's winter. Just kind of always moving that way.
I agree, Kyle, but parenthood has done that way more, put my life in fast forward, did it way more than, this job. Because it's a constant marking of the time, you
That's
know?
A good point, because look, I started my radio career at the exact same time I had my son, and I always blame the radio career, and maybe I need to blame my son for more of my issues.
Well, blame is a harsh word. I mean, we are talking about perceiving passage of time. It's not like it's some hard and fast thing. Are we going to talk to Bob? All right, we're standing
by. Maybe. Do we have the clip? Yeah, let's play the clip. Set this up for us.
It's a news report, and a woman does a story, and then
inspired by an unfortunate incident we saw.
We did, and she can't stop laughing afterwards. Let's go ahead. In theory,
some scary moments for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic. Man also told police others in the room laughed, understanding his joke, which I'm just now getting. Home Depot says they will not be pressing charges. But I can tell you right now, you asked the producer for me to read that, didn't you? To Ethan now, please.
No.
Are we going to have to go to a commercial?
No, we're going to get it. Okay. We're going to get it. All right. We can do this.
Hilarious.
Throwing your co-host under the bus is pretty funny. Under the bus is pretty funny.
And you know, I don't know why, but local news anchors humiliating themselves is like the funniest thing ever.
I haven't gotten that much. I know you were talking about having to get through the Jazz update earlier because you were laughing and we were having a pretty good laugh during the break at a very stupid thing. But there must be a thing about being on TV that makes it extremely hard to shake that laughter, knowing that people can see you.
Well, it's the pressure of you have to get it together, but you can't. And then it feeds on itself.
One of these things about this is, like, there are a lot of times I probably can't, nobody can tell, but I'll be, like, laughing quietly, and you just have no idea that I'm laughing. But you can keep carrying on, and there's not that pressure, versus obviously if there was a camera on me.
Yeah, right.
You can't really get yourself together.
I'm fixing to blow this bathroom up. Can you imagine that there's people that serious in this world that would be like, I don't know if he was making a bomb threat, but I think that might have been a bomb threat. I better call the authorities.
Yeah, are you better safe than sorry in that situation? I guess I would say actually yes, better safe than sorry. But I guess nice of the man to provide a very vulgar warning.
I mean, could you imagine the guy, though, who just kind of, you know, washes his hands and walks out of the bathroom to be met by like a SWAT team? And they're like,
what's going on?
They're like, where's the bomb, sir? And he's like, what are you talking about? No. He's just trying to give a heads up. Anyway, no Bob. So we don't know.
We'll catch up with more Masters throughout the week.
We could have asked him about the restrooms at the Masters. I'm sure.
They're immaculate.
I bet they're really nice.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Salt Lake Country Club. I've been there for multiple weddings and very nice bathroom.
I bet.
You ever been to the bathroom at the Alta Club? That might be the best bathroom in town.
No, I'm not a member of the Alta Club.
Not either, but I've been there.
What's my favorite public bathroom? You know, it's a good one, Market Street Grill. They're in the basement.
They have a good one?
Yeah, it's just a beautiful public bathroom. And it's like, it's not private, but it's just a beautiful bathroom. There's some good local public bathrooms.
Sure.
I feel like George Costanza.
Want to know the best, like, public, I mean, not talking about like an establishment with bathroom, but like at a park or something like that, public bathrooms. Aspen, Colorado.
Good.
Immaculate.
Huh.
But it's because they're just swimming in revenue because the property taxes there are just.
Yeah. To the roof.
And they have to spend it on something. So they're
flush
like, well,
the
we're going to make the greatest public restrooms you've ever seen
in your
life.
That's a good public service that everybody would appreciate.
There's not a pothole in the road in Aspen, Colorado. I was pretty shocked.
We can get to Bob.
We can do Bob real quick. Sure, why not? We're going to really surprise him with our first question. I mean, he's going to be really shocked. But, you know, good times. We haven't all been to Augusta. We haven't all been to Augusta National. Bob's been there a bunch of times.
It's a good question. Something nobody else has ever asked.
Ever, I would guess.
Yeah, we're about to make history.
Bob is used to being thrown off by my questions, but I think this one will really get him.
Okay.
Bob, first of all, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Jake. How are you?
We're doing great. We'll get to the golf here in a moment, but Ben and I were just having
hard-hitting questions first, Bob.
We were having a really interesting conversation about great public bathrooms, and we're just curious. I'm guessing the bathrooms at Augusta National are just incredible, no?
They are incredible.
Yeah.
But
attendant? Is there an attendant?
Been the truth. Yes, there are multiple.
Yeah, multiple attendants. Incredible.
But that hasn't always been the truth. I remember the first time I came here, and Brian can attest to that too. Down to the right, to the left of the 18th fairway, there was a public restroom. And when you went in there to go to the bathroom, the urinal was a trough, and you stood side by side, baby.
Oh, man.
with no split in between you. So you had a little bit of stage fright going on.
I'm glad we moved on from the trough.
I played Kapalua once. Great bathrooms.
Oh. You know, a lot of the really good clubs have really good
ones. Yeah, really good. So.
Well, now that we've addressed the most important pressing issues of the 2024 Masters golf tournament.
Yes.
Hey, before
we're going to make sure we don't use this one as a test.
We can absolutely get to pairings and tee times later on. I am curious, just like overall, what's the big arching story going into what kind of kicks off the golf season? Like, what are you watching for this summer specifically with the Masters?
Well, you know, the Masters is the first major of the year, as we all know. The big news always coming into the Masters is Rory McIlroy and the career Grand Slam. This is his 10th try to try to get the career Grand Slam, and we just had an interview with him, and he cut his remarks down to 10 minutes. And so 10 minutes is not very long for all the media that were in there. There were probably 200-300 people in there. You know, he hasn't done a lot of interviews lately, especially at golf tournaments or at major championships. And it was kind of Augusta said, you know, we want to have you in there. And he probably said, well, I don't want to answer all the questions, and so I'm not going to do an interview. And they said, okay, let's do 10 minutes. And the guy that was up there with him basically had a stopwatch and was making sure that they kept it to the correct time and that kind of thing. So I think the big news would be him. The other big story would be Scottie Scheffler coming in after winning the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the Players' Championship, and also finishing second in Houston. So I think Scottie Scheffler is—he's definitely the number one guy, the guy that you have to think about as far as winning this golf tournament, because he's playing so much better than everybody else right now. And then also, you know, we just had Tony Finau on last week on the show, and he's a kid that has played really, really good at this event. He's got a bunch of top 10s finishes, and being from Utah, of course, we want to see another Masters champion, so I think Tony Finau would be the other guy.
Did you tell him to skip the par three? Let's not do that this year?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can do the par three, and his family's all going to be in coveralls and everything like that, but just don't run backwards.
No, don't.
You know,
that.
He spun around and he started running backwards, and that's when he had that big ankle thing. But he went out and shot 68. That was his very first Masters.
Yeah, so that was amazing. That was an amazing, amazing story. What? Back to Scheffler real quick here, because I looked up of course, entertainment purposes only. Looked up the odds for the Masters, and Scheffler's coming in at 4-1, which is incredible. I mean, what's going on with him? Is he hot with the putter? Is he just doing everything right, or what has come together so well for him?
Well, so day in and day out, Jake, Scheffler is the best ball striker in the game. Hits the most amount of greens, gets the ball up and down when he misses a green. But the thing that really separates him from the rest is if he can putt well. And last year he didn't putt that great. He didn't early on in the year this year. And he found a new putter. And since he's found that new putter, with the way he strikes the ball, all he has to do is putt average to the field. And if he putts average to the field, he will blow everybody away. And that's what has happened in the last 3 weeks. His first 2 weeks with the putter, he won, and then he finished second. He missed a 6-foot putt on the final hole to go into a playoff. So Scottie Scheffler, the putter's coming around, but consummate ball striker, and hits the ball, hits a lot of greens, and gets the ball up and down when he misses. So that's why he is so good.
Well, Bob, thank you for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. We look forward to all yours and Brian's updates throughout the week. Thanks for doing that good work.
Send some photos of the bathrooms there, Bob.
Oh, yeah, good idea. Yeah.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, appreciate it.
Don't take cameras at the bathroom.
That might get you 86 from Augusta. But, you know, I'd actually really like Bob to try. If he could do that for us, I think.
That's not something, though, to do conspicuously.
Maybe wait till the last day.
Do it, but be as obvious as what you're doing, right? Like, don't try and sneak a camera. You got to come in and you got to knock on the door and say, I'm taking photos.
I want to take a photo. Just want to document the condition of the John here. Two attendants. I've been into some restrooms with attendants before, but two?
I don't want one.
It is an awkward interaction, I'll admit.
No, I know what I'm doing. I'm all right.
I mean, it's nice. Thank you.
It's not a great gig.
No.
No, credit for the people who do it.
Get tips.
Not job shaming anybody.
No, you got a tip. You're obligated to tip the attendant. That's a thing. He's not letting you out of there. There, you talk about the implication. It's like, hey,
stands in front of the door.
Hey, you've got to pull something out of that pocket, or you're. Don't, it's money, Ben. God, what's the matter with you? All right, stay tuned. We'll have more coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you to join JJ and Alex coming up on Wednesday from 3 to 6 at the Dish Pros, 8034 South State in Midvale. Go hang out with Ryan. They redid their offices a couple of years ago. You've been out there?
I haven't been since they've done it.
It's really nice.
Yeah. No, it's cool. I've always liked going down and hanging out there.
That's a great remote to drop by. Plus, it's in the middle of the valley, so it's close to everything. Dan Bickley is going to join the show. Coming up at 11:30, he's a columnist down in Arizona. He's also a radio host on 98.7 FM, which is a sister station of ours. So we're excited to talk to him.
Dan's the guy down there. Every media market has the guy. He's the guy.
He's the guy.
He's the guy.
And he's coming on our show?
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to him. You know, it's Softy up in Seattle, and we've got all the guys.
I don't think Softy is a guy. But
he's the guy.
I hear you.
I mean, he was the guy in Seattle, right? Or Ian Furness is the guy.
He still is, but Softy's a radio bozo.
But Dan's like a columnist and a radio guy, yeah. And does everything. He's the touches all parts.
I see.
Yeah, he's everywhere. So excited to talk to Dan. Look, this is a huge deal. This is what you position yourself for. There's actually some funny connections about what Ryan Smith is doing with the Utah Jazz roster. And what Ryan Smith is doing with the state of Utah as a landing spot for a professional sports franchise. And obviously he's focused on the NHL while the Millers are focused on Major League Baseball. That be flexible. Leave yourself a ton of flexibility. And when the opportunity comes to strike, be the most obvious answer. You know, on the court, the Jazz in basketball, the Jazz are hoping that Giannis Antetokounmpo this summer asks for a trade. Because they get bounced in the first round, it's a disaster, and he says, I've given you my time, I've given you my title, and I want to go play somewhere else. And the Jazz say, well, here's 7 first-round draft picks. And when it comes to hockey, Ryan Smith is saying, I've created a space for you, we're ready to play tomorrow, you want to get rid of your hockey team? We'll buy it from you. Here's $800 million or $1 billion, whatever it costs. I've got it set up, and the NHL is going to be welcome and happy here. It's the exact same thing he's done. And it's not fun on the basketball court. It's going to be far more fun when we see this happen, and I suspect it is going to happen with this Arizona team.
Ryan believes in this, state market. I mean, I'm sure he believes in it all, but specifically, you know, this is a great place to live, and, you know, he's in that tech world, which is really become a great tool or a great asset for us as a community, and believes in the growth and all those sorts of things, and I see it. 100%. I think Major League Baseball and hockey see it. And the Jazz have proven to be a great NBA franchise. You know, I know you love the Tampa Bay Rays, Ben. They are a constant problem.
Yeah, there's 40 fans.
There's constant problem for Major League Baseball.
They're mean to you if you go to the game.
Heaven forbid you wear a White Sox hat to a game the White Sox aren't even playing. They'll get after you.
They will come after
you. Big time. But they're a constant headache for Major League Baseball. The Coyotes have become a constant headache for the NHL. The Jazz have not been a headache for the NBA for 1 second.
Yeah, maybe in New Orleans they were for a little while.
In that way, of course. But never have been lack of support. Larry Miller got the building built. Like, all the things. They have been a plus for the NBA, not a minus. The second edition of the Charlotte Hornets has been a headache from the for the NBA since they were the Bobcats in their initial season.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you think of these franchises that are just constant headaches. And the Jazz have never been that. And I think this community is going to grow. I mean, you look at the projections. It should be one of the, you know, I don't know. I talked to David James about this off the air randomly, but we were talking about the Midwest. Like, Chicago's not growing anymore. You know, Detroit's not growing anymore.
California's shrinking. Right? California, like, people are leaving California.
Isn't growing anymore. Portland isn't growing anymore. Seattle might be. I don't know. I have to look into it a little bit deeper. And there's a lot of reasons. And I know that people get partisan and political on this sort of thing or blame one thing or another. But it's a lot of reasons.
We've just turned the machine on. Like, our machine is just getting going.
Is just getting going.
And not only are we capable of holding a hockey team, we could hold more.
People around here freak out about water, and I get it. But you know what an advantage Salt Lake has over several markets is we're further upriver on the Colorado.
As silly as that sounds.
As silly as that sounds. It's 100% a thing.
Yep.
You know, speaking of Phoenix, there's a limit on how big Phoenix can get because they don't have the water.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but Salt Lake's going to grow. I mean, unless we really do something to damage our economy or something, I would think that we are on the up.
And as long as this whole internet thing isn't a bubble.
But that's the thing. You know, even that, we get to reasons why places are growing or shrinking. Like, if you can work anywhere, I'll tell you this. We have family friends. My dad's college friend, they've kept in touch throughout the years, even though my dad doesn't live in Virginia anymore. And his kids, who are now our friends because we were introduced, they spent, I think, 6 months, maybe even longer, in 2021 because they both all of a sudden were working remotely. Living in different cities across the country trying to decide where to live. They decided on Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And are currently living here and happy. But it's a great place to live, and people will figure that out. And if you can make a really good living here. Now, I'm a little concerned about our cost of living, because that's a reason that people are moving places like Seattle and Portland and that sort of thing as well, is it costs too much to live there. We got to thread that needle, but I'd bet on Utah. I'd bet on Salt Lake, and I bet these leagues will too.
And I'd bet on sports fans locally.
Yep.
Most importantly, you know, in all honesty, like we just have dedicated sports fans. We have smart sports fans who will pick up hockey, run with hockey, support hockey, and it will flourish here in Salt Lake. And I hope that they can win. But that's so far down the road. We will be happy to have a new franchise. And the truth is, if you support it, good things will happen.
Do people know that Lavelle Edwards Stadium and the Marriott Center are both two of the biggest venues of their kind west of the Mississippi? Like, there are very few football stadiums west of the Mississippi that are actually bigger than Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and even fewer basketball facilities west of the Mississippi that are bigger than the Marriott Center. And BYU on the reg, I'm not saying this every year because I've seen attendance dip, of course, but they're packing those places.
Yep.
That doesn't happen other places.
I think we're learning that more because now our teams are starting to travel east more towards the Mississippi because of the Big 12. Whereas, you know, when you go to the Rose Bowl or you go to some of these huge football stadiums, you're like, oh, well, we can't match that. But then you look at like what a lot of these other, especially basketball, how small a lot of the arenas are that a lot of college basketball teams play. And you're like, oh, man, we've got incredible facilities, both Utah and BYU.
Sure.
Really good facilities.
But fans go is my point.
Yeah.
Like, sheer numbers-wise, fans go. And maybe we don't have the dough to charge, you know, $10 million a suite, you know, like other places do, where, you know, in San Francisco, they can charge whatever they want for those Golden State Warrior suites, whatever. They're going to have corporate sponsors lining up to buy them always. We don't have that quite yet. But we do have butts to put in seats. I believe in that.
And I like the idea, with all due respect, that the Jazz aren't going to be the only show in town. I like the idea that you're going to have other opportunities in the winter to go check out a different sport. If you want to be a hockey fan and you want to be a part of sports, you don't have to go to Jazz games if you don't want to. If you're not a basketball person or the hockey team's better, go support the hockey team.
No, it's just, it's better for everybody. I mean, the more professional sports we have here, or relevant college sports, it's better for everybody. It's better for the community.
And it's apples to oranges of what's going on in Phoenix, because they have the four major sports teams and one of them fell to the bottom.
And really to the bottom. And combine that with, and we can, you know, we can ask Dan about this coming up, but combine that with bad ownership. I mean, you're tostada.
And that the Suns have been particularly relevant for the last 5 years. I mean, they made a finals. They've had superstars on their team. The NFL is always the NFL. It's always going to be number one, regardless of what city it's playing in. And then the Diamondbacks just made the World Series. Like, you've had all this other success that has really hurt the Coyotes, in all honesty, because they were the low man. And they're going to jump up to Salt Lake City, and all of a sudden they're not going to be on equal footing with the Jazz ever. Maybe not ever, but not for a while. But they're going to come in and immediately take a huge piece of the cake, pie, whatever it is.
Yeah, but the idea is the pie is getting bigger. I mean, because Ryan's not going to bring something to town to compete with himself, you know what I mean? The idea is that there's going to be plenty of pie for everybody.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's the apples and oranges comparison is, yes, right. There was so little to be had for the Coyotes in Phoenix. That's not going to be a problem here in Salt Lake.
I wouldn't think so. And honestly, the NFL dominates the landscape so much. I mean, we can ask Dan about this too, but I would guess their, as far as their radio inventory goes, if you think about like what we're talking about for how long, how often, the Cardinals have got to be, what, 60% of what they do? More?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, especially the NFL is so year-round, and it just dominates. It's got to be all Cardinals all the time. Maybe mix in the Diamondbacks in the summer. The Suns have been there forever. I mean.
But you know what? The funny thing about the Suns is, and we can even, you know, we'll see how much time we have with Dan to talk about this. But, like, first of all, it was not that long ago they were being threatened to be moved out of Phoenix. I mean, that was within the last decade. There was a real push for an arena, and the then owner wanting to move the team outside of Phoenix or leave entirely. And then second of all, I mean, you've heard Charles Barkley say it a lot because he spent arguably his best years of his career in Phoenix, probably inarguably. That's where he did play his best basketball. He says he doesn't understand why Phoenix hasn't been more of a hotbed for basketball, because it's a great place to live. It's a warm weather town in the winter. A lot of guys would like to play there, and they've never been able to do it. And probably part of that is because, yeah, it's a Cardinals town. It's always going to be.
They've been mismanaged.
Yeah, bad ownership.
Bad ownership.
If you were to have had Miller quality ownership in Phoenix, there's a good argument they would have had a
title.
Well,
a lot of people tell you Colangelo was that, and Phoenix was good and relevant down there.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Charles Barkley years, but then Colangelo moved on.
Yeah.
So sold it to Sarver. Thanks for that. And now we'll see how Ishbia does. By the way, did you see the leaked voicemail of Ishbia to someone else in his org, but talking about what's his name in Cleveland? And Rocket Mortgage?
Oh, I know that those two are beefing because they own the two biggest mortgage companies in the state. Or
oh,
in the country.
Man, and they do not like each other at all.
Dan Gilbert and Matt Ishbia.
Yeah.
Our rivals.
Ishbia used some pretty colorful language when describing his competition.
I both don't like Ishbia much, and I also really support that his idea is that this game needs to be accessible for everybody. And he's doing the same thing that Ryan's done. They've got a great streaming option. They've made free access to the games locally if you live in Phoenix, and I don't expect that to be the case either in Phoenix or Salt Lake forever. I don't know what the future looks like there, but I like that they have tried to make the games accessible for their fans. And so I support Ishbia in that sense.
I saw in some sort of publication Jim Olsen was talking about Jazz Plus. Have we seen any numbers? Have we seen any? I mean, Jim said it's been successful, and I have no reason to doubt him. But have we seen any
concrete numbers?
Have we seen anything on how successful it has been?
I don't know what their goal was. So,
right.
Like, success is a different, maybe an interesting word to use. I have heard it's over 10,000 subscribers. I don't know what that means compared to projections or cost or what.
And I would guess KJazz's numbers are way better than they were on.
Of course, yeah.
On AT&T Sportsnet, right?
Yeah.
Just by simple distribution.
I mean, I have both. I have Jazz Plus and I have KJazz, and I watch them on KJazz.
I love it. The accessibility idea. I think it's a I think it's a really hard thing. So that's why I'm curious, you know, what's the level of success? You bring up a great point. What's the, you know, what's
what was the bar?
The yardstick, because even the mouse can't make money on streaming.
Let me tell you most successful, and a hat tip to Caroline Klein and Jim and the people who put that together, like, that it works.
that every game they're not just like,
why is this not working again?
Right.
You never get that. I haven't seen that at all this year. So hat tip to them. As far as success goes, it's reliable. The price isn't changing. Like, game in and game out, like, it's worked. So that credit to them for that.
Because the world of media is just bizarre. I mean, like I mentioned, like, Disney is getting cleaned up on streaming. I mean, I don't think people, the, you know, 801-424-DISH, I don't think people realized how good that model actually was. Like, for everybody. For consumers, for, certainly for networks. Because with that model, whether people were watching your network or not, you still got paid for it.
Everyone ate.
Everyone ate, right? And I would absolutely make an argument that consuming a variety of media was way easier before streaming. And I guess you could still have the old model to a certain extent. But I've gotten trapped in the different streaming service world.
Of course.
And it's bananas.
It's awful.
And no cheaper. And I have no idea what's on what.
Or where to find what, whether you have it or not.
And,
yeah, it's funny how often we try and reinvent the wheel. We just come back to what worked.
And I've got endless amounts of programming at my fingertips, but yet I can never find anything that I want to watch.
Never find anything to watch. I did it last night.
It's wild that this world that everybody was predicting was coming and going to be this big boon and you know, get on board or you'll get left behind. I don't know if it's much better.
Yeah.
In fact, for businesses, I think they'll tell you it's far worse. I mean, good for Ryan being about accessibility and getting his product out there. I admire that. But I'll tell you this, his accountant doesn't like it.
We have a streaming option. Don't be streaming reliant. I think that's what we've learned from the Pac-12. Have an option. Don't be reliant on it. If that's your only way to do it, you might be in trouble.
But they are reliant on it, the Jazz. I mean, because they're not making any money from KJazz, I'm guessing. They were making, I don't know, what was the price tag from AT&T Sportsnet every year? It was like $10 million. I mean, it was like...
More than that.
More than that, $20 million. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of dough. They're not making that from KJazz.
They're not making it from streaming.
So, like, your option of you got to find a hybrid, I don't think that's a solution. I don't think that exists. I don't think we know what the solution is.
No, nobody does. That's why the Jazz have done this thing. Again, to bring it back to our beginning of our conversation, they're doing the same thing with TV they've done with the Jazz roster and superstars and with bringing the Arizona Coyotes. Just put yourself in a spot where you're flexible. So when there is a solution, you're in line to do it.
Yeah. I'm not criticizing, saying anything's wrong per se. I certainly understand what they're doing. And honestly, when the regional sports model disappears entirely, everybody's going to be in the same boat.
Yeah.
But I actually think the NBA does what Major League Soccer did. They'll pool everybody's.
It should all be on League Pass.
And the Knicks and the Lakers will come along kicking and screaming, but they'll eventually come along.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what has to happen.
They've got the infrastructure for League Pass. Just remove blackouts.
So you just get rid of local broadcast basically entirely, which is what Major League Soccer has done.
Yeah.
Which I would hate to see.
No, I...
But I think that's inevitable.
Unfortunately. I think so, too. Hmm.
All right. Stay tuned. Speaking of the Jazz, we have tickets to give away. Caller number 12 right now on a Jazz Ticket Tuesday, 801-575-ZONE. You're going to go see the Jazz and the Rockets April 11th, the final home game. Tickets, we'll send them electronically via SeatGeek, 801-575-ZONE. Dan Bickley is going to join us. He's a columnist in Phoenix. He's also on 98.7 FM. We'll talk to him about the Coyotes possibly moving and what's the latest down in Arizona. Stay tuned, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You have sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's get right out to the Zone phone. Joining us now, he is a columnist for ArizonaSports.com. He's also the co-host of a midday show on 98.7 FM in Phoenix. We're excited to have on Dan Bickley on Jake and Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Dan, thank you very much for a few
minutes.
How are you?
What's up, boys? How are you?
We're doing terrific. Hey, Dan, can I just ask you to catch me up on what's happened in the last 72 hours? Because at one side I'm seeing, oh, yeah, the Coyotes feel like they're going to buy new property and build this land. And then the mayor of Scottsdale says, yeah, what are you talking about? We haven't heard this proposal at all, and we're not interested. Where are we today as of 11:30 Mountain Time?
Well, it depends on who you ask, I think, is the right way to answer that. But to answer it, I'll just have to give you a little backstory here. Going into this whole process, there is a piece of land that is going to auction at the end of June. The Coyotes are going to bid for it, but it is also about the primest acreage you're going to find in Arizona. It's kind of land near the McDowell Mountains. There's not a lot of this left. So this is not typical in situations like this because there are many, many ruthless, very savvy developers in Arizona. Housing is sort of our number one industry. So this land is very, very, very valuable, and it's got the attention of a lot of people. And that has to be said as a backdrop because even though the Coyotes claim and believe that most of this plot of land has already been zoned for their purposes for an arena, there are many zoning issues that can arise, especially if there are people looking to dissent, if there are people politically motivated to dissent. And so I think what we saw from the mayor of Scottsdale yesterday was some of the latter, where the mayor in very, very strong terms basically said the Coyotes are not welcome in Scottsdale. And this whole terrible journey that the Coyotes have been on for the better part of my entire life in Arizona occurred way back in the day when they won a referendum for an arena in Scottsdale, Arizona, and the city didn't trust the developer, said, prove it to us that you've got the money, and they headed out to Westgate on the west side, and it has been a picture of dysfunction ever since. So I think what you're seeing now is probably the beginning of some of those dissenting voices that may or may not derail the project, and not in terms of the Coyotes' ability to buy the land, but in terms of creating enough delays. If they can create obstacles, the NHL is about out of patience with this hockey team, as you guys well know, and so the clock is their biggest foe at the moment. People I talked to at the end of last week fully anticipated this sort of stuff to happen. And it might actually force the sale of our hockey team to your community. So that's basically where we're at. Just, you know, the political shenanigans have begun around this piece of land that's going up for auction. That's basically what's happened here.
So, Dan, as we've seen other franchises go through this in sports across the country, like in Sacramento, for instance, when the Kings were going through an ownership change and trying to get a building built, and, you know, I'm sure you remember all of that, the vibe in the community was desperate to keep the franchise, right? And that ultimately prevailed. I mean, he got Kevin Johnson elected mayor, and they eventually kept the Kings. So I hope this makes sense. But where's the community at on this? I mean, are they fighting to keep the Coyotes, or is it indifference? Or where's the community?
The answer is I don't know what you would scale it at. There's a small group of very, very loyal hockey fans who have stuck with this hockey franchise throughout a couple of decades of this. But you have to understand, this relocation game has been a part of this hockey team for almost two decades now, and people are tired of it. I think most casual sports fans in Arizona just want resolution, just want to know, is there going to be a future for this hockey team in Arizona, or is it going to be, you know, one thing after another after another? Like I said, you would have to have lived this on a year-to-year basis to understand how exhausting all of this has been to the common fan. And while I think there was a point in time in our history as a sports market that being a big league sports town, having all four major professional sports was something of value intrinsically and in terms of identity purposes, I don't know if that's any longer the case. I mean, the Valley where we live now, we host NASCAR championships. We host Super Bowls. We just hosted a Final Four. We've got a WNBA franchise. We've got everything here. So absorbing the loss of a major professional sports, I don't think it's going to hit this market the way it once might have. And along those lines, I just don't think this ownership group at the Coyotes, and because of the lack of success that the Coyotes have had over the years, you know, they don't have the political clout or the machinery, the juice to kind of get this done behind closed doors. And also, you know, the Coyotes have made one extended playoff run in 25 years or in 20 plus years. And that's not enough. If you're going to sell the sport of hockey to your community, you've got to give them playoff hockey. There's nothing like playoff hockey. The game is maybe 25 to 30% better than what it is during the regular season. And it's where people become addicted for life. And we haven't had any success. We've had nothing but dysfunction. The league and the commissioner has been very, very loyal to us at a price. People in Canada think he's insane for sticking with this market. But there's also a lot of there's a lot of falsehoods that fly around. If you give Arizonans a good hockey product and some stability, they will support a hockey team. I've seen it myself. There was a time when this team was back at the end of the late 1990s when they had Jeremy Roenick and Keith Tkachuk and other stars. They were a big deal in this town. And so it really is incumbent on the hockey team to give something of value back to the community.
Because we haven't covered a lot of hockey locally, how do hockey teams win? You know, and what I mean is comparing that to like a baseball team where you really, you know, you got to spend money to win. Basketball, obviously what Matt Ishbia is trying to do with the Suns is you invest a lot in the roster. Do you rebuild in hockey? Do you just spend money to get stars like the Yankees do? Like, how do you build a winning program?
It's a really, really good question. You can circumvent the process with a really good goaltender. A goaltender can it's the second most important position in sports behind NFL quarterback. They can change your fortunes overnight if you get a really, really good one. And then there's a lot of hockey players. You can build the guts of a hockey team without a lot of money, and you can build a good one. There's a lot of good core competent hockey players, but what you find out is when you get near that Stanley Cup, you're dealing with hockey teams that can roll four great lines out at you in succession. That's when you need the requisite high end talent. Is if you're going to expect to get through the playoffs and actually lift that trophy, you really can't have any weaknesses on any line. So you can go in stages. You can circle. You can get good really quickly. I think we've seen expansion teams like Las Vegas come firing out of the gates. But those are some of the elements you need.
So this is just a sports radio nerd question for you. But when you're planning out your show, how do you divide your time? What's the kind of pecking order in Phoenix? Where do you spend most of your time, and you know, how do you delineate?
That's a very easy question to answer. Basically, right at the moment, we are now we hover over three major professional sports franchises for the longest time. It's really been the Suns. The Suns are our first major professional franchise. They've been here the longest. They actually have a generational link in the Valley, so they're always number one when they're good. Professional football and the Cardinals are always right there behind them, and now we've got a baseball team that made a very surprising and a very satisfying run to the World Series last year. So they're number three. So basically our world revolves around those three teams, and then whatever major events seem to kind of break through and command mass interest.
Okay, well, let me ask you about the Suns since you brought them up, and obviously we're an NBA town here in Salt Lake City. What's the thought? What's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks? I mean, is this going to be a first-round elimination? Is there a hope that what we've seen in the last couple of weeks when they've been dealing with this insanely difficult schedule and they're, what, 4-2 to start these final 10 games?
Do they
make the run?
Your guess is as good as ours when it comes to this basketball team. We're 78 games into the regular season. Nobody really knows what their identity is, what they're made of, if you can count on them. I don't know. There's something off with this basketball team that has led them. They're not connected in ways that great teams always tend to be. So they've been described as joyless on the court. They don't have a vocal leader, and they do not have a real traditional point guard. And as a basketball town, Salt Lake City knows better than anybody via John Stockton what it means to have a point guard. A point guard feeds everybody else. A point guard creates happiness because of their generosity. A point guard kind of connects everybody on the floor. One of the lessons I think the Suns learned the hard way is you really can't shortchange that element of it all. And yet they've got enough firepower where they've had nights when they've looked really, really dangerous. So I wish I had an answer for you. This basketball team has confounded all of us. And it's funny because it's fan appreciation night in Phoenix tonight. And the joke is, well, the fans do not appreciate being teased for 78 regular season games prior to this. So it's one of those roller coaster rides that, as has been said, you got to keep your hands inside the ride. Might get a little out of control.
Dan, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah,
thank you very, very much. And yeah, I hope you don't mind if we bug you as this story kind of unfolds.
You got it, fellas. All the best to you.
Hey, appreciate you. Thanks, Dan.
Radio guys.
Dan Bickley.
He's got the voice and everything.
Radio host, 98.7 in Phoenix, and columnist at ArizonaSports.com.
Yeah. Sister station. We've got friends down there. You know Ryan Hatch very well.
Yeah, I don't think Phoenix wants the Coyotes.
No,
I don't
think clearly.
They're obviously not going to fight for it, so I wonder if this is just inevitable. Listening to Dan, it feels like he thinks it's been inevitable for a long time.
Remember the team had to sell the last time because the owner strangled his wife? Like, it's a disaster, right?
No,
like, they've been a disaster.
That detail. Not a surprise you do.
So, what is that?
All your stuff all goes it all goes to these gruesome ends.
Whoa,
like, did you know that?
Talking about peas in a pond. Like, what?
Did you know there was a murder? No, I didn't know there was a murder, Ben.
So, they've been a disaster. And a thorn in the side of the NHL for a long time. And this new owner, here's the actual advantage, and you know, maybe you don't want to monopolize all these things. How many different owners are there in Phoenix now owning these different professional teams? Like, does the guy who owned the Cardinals also own the Diamondbacks? Because Ishbia doesn't own them.
I don't think so.
So do you have four different owners of four major sports? Like, that's hard. Like, I don't know if Ryan Smith would risk losing a hockey team once he has the Jazz here. Like, that would be difficult to do. And then you have, you know, ideally, Matt Ishbia would just say, yeah, we've got room for you to play in our arena, the hockey team, and we're all good. And that's why the Jazz are building this single location with the Delta Center to be able to host both. Like, that's what we've agreed to do. That makes it a lot easier to host a team as opposed to this Morello guy trying to go out and build a new area in the last spot where there's habitable housing or potentially whatever to develop in Scottsdale, as Dan just told us. Like, yeah, that makes it really hard. If you're going to be the worst owner, your team's going to suffer and then no one's going to care about you. Ryan Smith's going to own both teams locally.
Well, it doesn't sound like he's going to get that spot in Scottsdale.
No, it seems, like
the mayor doesn't
want
you, and there's going to be plenty of other people who are going to do something else with that.
Yes.
I don't think he's going to win.
It's one thing if that was a swamp that nobody wanted to move into and Walt Disney came in and said, well, I think I can develop it. They would say, heck yeah, go for it. If everyone wants this land, they're not going to give it to the hockey team that nobody supports.
But don't send Roy. We don't like that guy.
Don't need him.
Didn't Roy run Disney for a while after Walt's passing?
Yeah. Well, they got it all together. But Walt was the brains of the operation.
I suppose. Well, he came up with the
mouse.
Yeah, so that helps. Who bought ESPN? Was that Roy?
I don't know. Was Roy dead by then?
I have no clue.
Probably dead by then.
All right. Well, there's your Disney history lesson for the day. Big thanks to
Dan
for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. All right, stay tuned. We'll wrap up the show next. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Our 50 segment is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. It's time to get another qualifier for the Uinta Golf Major Giveaway. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We're going to assign you a golfer in this week's Masters, and if your golfer wins, you win that player's brand of driver, courtesy of our good friends at Uinta Golf.
Very cool.
Yeah, I love this promotion. It's a great promotion.
One of the fun things we do every tournament, really.
Apparently, Scotty Scheffler can't lose, so I hope our listener gets Scotty Scheffler.
Tiger is golfing, trying to make the cut for a record 24th straight time. So that's another issue, or that's what they're going to be talking about at least Thursday and Friday. Does he make the cut? Because two others have tied him at 23 straight cuts made.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Tiger draws eyes.
I know, and he's
I'll
not
watch Tiger.
Good anymore, so why would you watch Tiger?
He's still good. He's Tiger
Woods.
You
just talked about him making the cut.
That's good.
Yeah, but since when do you focus in a tournament on somebody who's battling to make the cut?
I will tell you,
as a casual,
which a lot of people are, if Tiger Woods is playing on Saturday or Sunday, that increases the interest tenfold. In fact, I've got SportsCenter on the TV right in front of me. What does it say at the very bottom? Coming up in 6:14, Tiger Woods to discuss his trip to the Masters. It's like, he still draws.
He should, because he's not good anymore. So if you're in love with celebrity and that's why you're watching golf, I guess.
That's why we watch sports.
He's not good.
That's why we watch sports.
I thought you told me that we're watching sports because so good, highest level and all that sort of thing.
No, I literally argued yesterday and 2 days ago that the best thing that's happened for women's sports and the idea that people are hammering Caitlin Clark is dumb. It's like the great thing about the WNBA coming up is we're getting stars going into the league every 2 years now. It used to be every 6 years or 8 years, and now we're getting borderline household names. I mean, Caitlin Clark is a household name. If you want to say Sabrina Ionescu wasn't, that's fine, but like we are getting to that point where there are multiple household names going into this next league every couple of years.
Well, that doesn't mean I have to enjoy watching an average golfer play golf.
No, you don't, but a lot of people will, including myself. Love watching Tiger. The nostalgia already baked into it.
You love watching Tiger fail?
Making the cut's the exact opposite of failing. That's what we're talking about. It'll be his 24th straight cut made.
No, he used to win the tournament, and now we're talking about him making the cut?
Yeah. He's at that point in his career. He's
at
that fun point.
Exactly. Where he stinks.
Making the cut at Augusta, it's not a qualification of whether you stink or not.
Comparatively speaking, it sure is.
Compared to him being at the best of his life, yes.
No,
compared to him being the greatest golfer of all time, yes.
No, compared to 150 other golfers also playing in the tournament.
That all are also fighting to make the cut.
Not compared to Tiger before. No, compared to like the best amateurs in the tournament, who are probably better currently than Tiger Woods.
Who missed the cut last year?
Probably a bunch of old-timers that still get invited to play, which Tiger is now.
DeChambeau missed it last year. Rory missed the cut last year. Rory.
Yeah, they
suck. Rory's the best player.
And isn't that what we said? That's what we said on Monday after the Masters. Boy, Rory really sucked this weekend. Yes.
No,
yes,
you're implying that they can't play good golf anymore.
Well,
that's what you're implying with Tiger.
Tiger can't play.
Well, you
could
make
anymore.
The cut, and apparently that's good because you just said Rory sucked because he missed the cut.
Exactly.
So Rory, we know Rory doesn't.
But we
suck.
Were talking about
he's
Rory
trying to win the career Grand Slam.
We were talking about Rory winning it all going into the tournament. We're certainly not talking about Tiger winning it all going into the tournament. We're talking about Tiger. Oh, can he make the cut?
Rory couldn't do it last year. Bryson couldn't make it last year. So it's not a nothing. It's not a nothing accomplishment.
Hanson, Scotty, you're coming up next. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, we'll talk to you tomorrow on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.